Hello and welcome to Just Bugs, an appreciation podcast for those oft-ousted creatures we humans call bugs, despite their official classifications. I'm your host, Savannah, and today I have my co-host, Matt, with me.
Such an odd tempo today.
Yeah, I was kind of mad at myself that I made that intro have the words oft-ousted next to each other. That's so hard to say.
It's been like that forever.
I know, but today my nose is nasally.
What does that have to do with anything?
I have like a cold or something, and it was harder to say, so I changed the tempo.
Well, it worked.
Okay, great. As long as you guys know who's here and what we're doing.
That's what we do, and we are.
Perfect. Today, first off, I'm sorry. It's been a while, but...
I hope you didn't forget about us.
Yeah, hopefully not, and sorry. But we are going to be moving bi-weekly from now on, so at least it'll be like a schedule, sort of schedule for you to depend on.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We're going to do our best.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, sorry again.
Yeah, I mean, we just do this for fun, so we try to get it in whenever we can, and it's just been a little harder lately, but we still love it.
Yeah, and yeah, bi-weekly should help a lot.
I hope so.
We're really open for that. Anyways, today we're going to cover the Argentine ant.
That sounds...
Yay!
Yeah! Woo! I don't know anything about Argentine. Argentina. You didn't say Argentina.
I know. So the listener who requested this ant is named Lucas. Lucas requested Argentina ants. And the only thing I could find was Argentine ants. So I'm thinking this is where we're at. This is them.
Yeah. Okay, well then maybe it is.
I'm thinking so. So...
If it is, you're welcome. If not, we're sorry.
Sorry about it. Yeah, I'm very sorry. full of apologies today, we are. So, Argentine ants. The scientific classification is Linnaeopithema humili.
Wow, he didn't waste a beat on that one.
I know. I just
maybe you just needed a break.
Or some cold. I needed a cold.
Ah, cold.
Yeah. Yes. Interestingly, it has several taxonomic...
Shush.
It has several taxonomic synonyms.
I don't know what that means.
I'm going to tell you right now. A taxonomic synonym is when something is described by multiple scientists at different times by different names.
So like they name the same thing, different things?
Yeah. So usually it's because they don't realize that they're working with something that's already been discovered. So the scientists...
What a waste!
I know.
They're like, I'm making a breakthrough. And then they find out like five other guys have done the same thing.
I know. So sad for that scientist guy.
Well, I hope so. Hopefully one of them got the name they liked.
So yeah, the way that it works is only one of the scientific names can be accepted. The one that is accepted is called the senior synonym. And the ones that used to be taxonomic synonyms for the Argentine ant are Hypoclinia humilis, Iridomimex humilius, Iridomimex rigrandensis, and you do the last one because I can't do it right here.
Hemipathina rhyograndense.
Good enough.
I don't really know if this adds anything to the episode to read all these every time.
Maybe it's fun for them.
Maybe it is. If it is, enjoy.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it isn't, sorry. Again, with the apologies. So it is an insect. Yes, it's an ant. It's actually a super normal looking small brown ant.
Oh, really?
It is.
I was going to ask what it looked like. I'm looking at a picture now, and that is indeed an accurate description.
Small brown ant.
Yeah, I like ants.
I think they are.
It does have a nice, you know, like a sheen, and it's got different shades of brown and yellow. It looks almost like, you know, the rock of amber that has the
mosquito
in it in Jurassic Park.
It's got that color scheme going.
Yeah, or like, you know, turtle shell sunglasses. Ooh. Probably a more...
Love a turtle shell.
Modern reference, mm-hmm. Maybe?
Did you know that cats can have turtle shell coloration?
To their what?
Fur. To their what?
I'm like, well, because it seems like semi-translucent, so I was thinking like, well, obviously their fur wouldn't be translucent, but
no, it's like, it's kind of like like a calico, but more diluted, but not a dilute calico, which is a different thing. It's just, it's like a different color scheme from calico, but it's that like splotchy different colors thing.
Look, a brown cat.
I mean, an interesting brown cat.
Yeah.
So let's talk more about what they look like. They have segmented bodies. They got the head, the thorax, the abdomen, as you always expect from an insect. They also have a segment between the thorax and the abdomen called a petiole.
What is that?
It's a specific segment that separates the abdomen and the thorax.
All right. They got a midsection.
Yeah. So it's like a segment. And for them, it's pointed.
Oh, nice.
So some ants have it. These ants got it. For them, it's a pointed segment. You can't see it in that picture.
I see.
Hopefully that is a picture of an Argentina.
It is.
It said it was.
It says right there.
Beautiful.
If not, it looks like a normal brown ant, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
Fair enough. You mentioned kind of their color scheme. Their heads and thorax are usually a little bit darker than their middle sections. Actually, their heads and their abdomens, rather.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then they do have two big compound eyes on either sides of their heads. And in the elates, which are the flying cast members, they also have the three hat eyes, as we call them, or ocelli.
Yeah, for flying junk.
For flying and junk, exactly.
Yeah, for seeing in whatever. I don't really I still think it's for like seeing at night or something, navigating at night.
The other way, but yeah. It's daytime. It's the brightness of the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right. They do have wings, but only in those elate classes. Casts. The reproductive guys.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then they are kind of small. As I mentioned, they are thin and little. They're about 2.6 to 3.2 millimeters long. And the workers are all identical, pretty much. And they are 2.2 to 2.6 millimeters. So a little bit smaller.
Okay, yeah. So do they have like a bunch of different kinds of ants? And like, you know, they have like the big head one, and then they have like the short butt one. And I don't know. Sometimes they have different kinds.
Yeah. So yes and no. So a lot of groups like these that we're going to get into have a lot of different, I guess, groups or castes within them.
Yeah.
These don't have that many, but there are three different kinds, and I'll talk more about them.
Please do.
Soon.
Then,
yes, I will. So they do have some anatomical defenses, which we love. When they're squished, they leave behind a greasy substance that smells musty.
Yeah, I like the idea of it smelling musty. It's like, it doesn't smell bad. It's just like slightly off-putting. It's like, like they couldn't get to bad, but they tried.
They gave it a shot.
Yeah.
But also they were squished. So, I mean, it's not like.
Well, you said it's a defense, so I have to assume it was some, you know, developed through time and evolution, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
to some degree.
I guess it would be like if a predator was trying to eat them, but then one got squished, they'd be like, bleh, musty, and then they wouldn't eat the rest of them. I guess that's it.
Yeah, all the ones that were like, ooh, that smells sweet, like flowers, and then those ones got eaten.
Mm-hmm. Because yum.
Yeah.
Don't you love lavender and rose in your coffee? Oh, wait, that's
you
me.
Do. I love nothing in my coffee.
That's correct. That is so true. They also love to bite. No hesitation there. Thankfully, though, their bite is pretty painless and not harmful, really. They can cause allergic reactions in people. Specifically, my mom gets these like enormous welts when she gets bit by an ant. They're like huge, like a softball or like a tea plate.
That's way too much. I would go to the doctor. I feel like that happened to me.
Well, I mean, I think she just takes like an antihistamine and then it's good.
You can just buy those?
Yeah, like Zyrtec.
Oh,
Claritin.
I mean, yeah, I don't know much about things you can take.
That's fair. You don't really take a lot of medications.
No, I don't really know. They all seem like snake oil to me, which I would try.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Hey, what if it's good?
What if it's bad? All right, fair enough. Their main defense, however.
Ant oil.
Oh.
Musky ant oil.
I'll tell you about more ant oil right now. Is a chemical defense. When other ants try to take over their nests, Argentine ants use secretions to defend it. So they get.
Gross.
Mm-hmm. They get into these like physical altercations, aka fights.
Yeah, they grabbed their, they got their little short swords. Ting, like, ting, 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 ting. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's with the other ants. And then instead of biting them as their major defense, though, in these battles, they, like, dab the enemy's forehead with a chemical compound. And it disrupts the enemy's behavior. So it makes them disoriented.
It's like, oh, my head stinks. Ah, oh, I can't do anything.
So it's like,
oh, it's so irritating.
Perfect. Exactly. That's exactly how they're feeling, probably. but yeah, they also secrete the concoction. Well, the concoction that they secrete, rather, is made up of two chemicals that I wrote down, and I don't know why, because I can't pronounce them.
Chemical X.
Chemical dilochod. Dilocodile.
Totodile is what you mean.
Yes, exactly. And iridimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimimim
to do that one.
Okay. Iridomimermic.
She had a stroke mid-word.
You try it.
Where is
right
it?
Right here.
I can't even see that. It's too small. Iridomimerkin.
See, it's hard.
Nailed it.
Iridomimerkin.
Yeah.
No, thanks. I think I'm good. The same chemical is what also alarms the colony.
You said smell?
Small. Same. I said small. I think I did have a stroke.
What happened? Just say it again.
Okay. The same chemical compound works as an alarm for the colony, which brings more Argentinians to help, is what I had intended to say when I said all that stuff.
It's just interesting to like smell something and be like, they need help. I guess maybe if you smell like a fire, you'd be like, someone needs help. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
Or like gas, although that's more like get out.
Yeah, go away.
We need to leave. So they are trailing ants. Moving on from what they look like in their defenses.
Hitting the old dusty trail.
Exactly. Yeah, you get it. It means that they move following a trail left by the ant before them. They do this by means of pheromones that are left by the worker ants from the same colony.
Oh, so just a long, stinky line of ants.
Exactly. They will follow these up into trees, into buildings, into people's houses, pretty much anywhere. And it's actually the same chemicals that they use to defend the colony and rally the troops.
Nice. I like how multi-purpose. Versatile.
Yeah, it's good for them. Effective.
Effective.
Where are they found? Where do you think these are found? No peeking.
Well, wait. Peaky. The name suggests a place.
It does.
In Argentina.
Yes, in Argentina. And also Paraguay and Uruguay and Brazil.
So like South America?
Yes. Specifically in the Parana. Kinda. River drainage basin, which
definitely
is
Parana. River was the next word.
But Parana is fine. Parana River drainage basin. It's a 1,081,000 square mile or 2,800,000 square mile or kilometer area that crosses into each of the listed countries as well as Bolivia.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. That was important for some reason. I wrote it down.
Yeah.
Since the mid-1800s, though, they have been found globally. They think that they were spread from human movement, pretty typical, from soil and potted plants and in garbage and on shipment of foods and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I get garbage and food, but I guess you don't think about the fact that people actually do move dirt. Like, you think, like, there's dirt everywhere. Why would we need to take it with us? But people really do that.
They do that. And actually, the biggest risk is in the transfer of trees and plants in nurseries.
Okay, so you buy a plant and then it's just got ants in there.
Yeah. And you don't think about ants.
When was the last time you bought a plant and thought about that?
Never.
Yeah, me either.
I will now.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. I'll get into it knowledge. Ah, knowledge, exactly. They do best in high moisture areas like swamps and low-lying areas, and they're often found in urban places like lawns and around buildings and in trees and sidewalks, like I mentioned.
Yeah, they do like urban areas quite a bit. You'd think they'd like nature more.
Yeah, I mean, like, nature has less resources. You'll see.
Okay.
Right now. Food sources.
Oh.
Uh-huh. They like to eat honeydew from other bugs. We talked about this once, I think, when we covered aphids, because aphids is one of the bugs that they will use. Also, scale insects and mealybugs. But basically, these insects all eat stuff that's sweet and produce honeydew, which is like a sweet liquid.
Oh, yes. Cream. Other bugs make yummy slime and then these guys eat it.
Exactly.
Gross.
Exactly. Yes.
And it may be good. I might try it. It's nice. Kind of like honey, honestly.
Yeah, sort of. In a way. It comes out of a different end, but yes. But yeah, they also will sometimes eat dead insects. And because of the availability to them, they have developed a preference for human foods like soda and juices, cakes, other desserts, and even meat.
For a second, I thought you said, and they developed a taste for humans. Oh, no. I was like, oh no, we need to get these out of here.
They gotta go. I mean, I don't think so, but maybe.
Yeah, sweet stuff makes sense. You know, you're eating your ice cream and then you accidentally lick the scoop off the cone. Oh no. Crying on your tricycle, and then who shows up? The ants.
They're like, ooh, score.
Yeah, awesome.
Exactly.
You'd think that they would prefer like the naturally occurring sweetness from the bug butts, I don't know. I didn't try bug butt ice cream.
I'm right, but you definitely like cereal more than you like an apple.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Anywho, let's talk about their social groups, because we know ants are a social species, right? They are eusocial and haplodiploid. So eusocial species are those that have highly complex social groups. Makes sense? Yes. They typically have one female that makes all the babies, sometimes many females. And then each of the different groups or castes within it have different jobs. Queens, ants, queens, workers, etc. Yeah. The workers are almost always sterile as well.
Well, they don't need to reproduce, right? Exactly. So that makes sense.
Yes. So haplodiploid is a sex determination. It's when the males are haploid and the females are diploid. So the males have a single set of chromosomes and the females have two sets.
Interesting.
It is. The way that this works is that if they want more workers or queens, they have to mate with a male because the males have to fertilize the eggs in order to create females.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yes. While as if they just need more males, she just lays a bunch of eggs and boom, there's boys. Because they don't need to be fertilized, which is good and handy. Because if all the males are gone, then you can't make any more females. You need females to make more males.
I see. So they can solve their own problems.
Exactly.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how they end up with huge colonies, basically.
Yeah, they sure do. So let's talk about some of the responsibilities within these colonies, shall we?
Their taxes, I mean. And
probably taxes.
Their lawns. Yeah.
Yes.
Laundry.
I don't think they wear clothes.
Oh. They're all naked?
They're all naked. I mean, yeah, kind of.
Well, I have their bones on the outside,
I guess, most stuff is naked.
Most things?
Most things are naked. It's pretty much just us.
I guess that's true, huh?
And sometimes small dogs. Like, that's about it.
Oh, yeah, they wear clothes sometimes.
Sometimes. And, really angry cats.
Oh, man, yeah, they don't like that.
But, yes, in the Argentine ant colonies, there are queens whose responsibilities and features include laying all the eggs to make more ants. We covered that. They can actually lay up to 60 eggs every single day.
If they want to, right? It's all based on what they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they also, when they hatch, they have wings, but they fall off after a certain amount of time. Just because I think it's more like an evolutionary thing. They had them in the past. I'll get into it. They're also responsible for creating more colonies to join together. See, Argentine ants are very unique eusocial groups for many reasons. They have many active queens at the same time instead of just one. They create new colonies by a process called budding rather than creating them from a nuptial flight, which is kind of what I was alluding to with the wing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they form mega colonies. So every colony nearby that is also made of Argentine ants, they will form together to bend like a huge colony.
Really? So like strength in numbers kind of thing. So does that mean they share resources?
They do.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Hopefully they have enough resources to go around all the ants. That is cool. Yeah, I don't really remember hearing anything like that.
No, I never heard anything like that either. But let's break it down a little bit more. So they have many active queens. So each queen has the same duties and they all act as leadership within the group. So it's not like one main queen and a bunch of other queens. It's like everybody's the same.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like a council of queens.
A queen council.
Yeah.
I like it. The next thing I mentioned was that they use different methods to create colonies. So most queen ants create new colonies by the nuptial flight. We've talked about this before, but let's briefly touch on it. They fly out of their current colony and mate. They do that while they're flying, which is why it's called a nuptial flight. And when it's over, the queen returns to the ground, chooses a new location, and then she makes a new colony there for her to run. She also loses her wings at that time.
Okay, so yeah, so they can just kind of slowly spread until there's hecka ants in a place.
Right, exactly. So that's what a normal ant will do.
Yeah.
I guess Argentinians are normal too, but they do something different. Budding. Now, this is when one or more queens leave the nest on foot rather than flying, and they take like a posse of worker ants with them, which I think is great.
We gotta have guards.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So she'll walk to a nearby location, and she starts her new colony there. And one source I found said that they also do nuptial flights early on and then they lose their wings later. But I think it's mostly done by budding. And that's why they don't really need their wings, which is why I think it was more like a previous evolution needed them.
And yeah, and then they're like, we can just walk like 20 feet. It's fine.
Exactly. Yes. Especially because I think the main thing is because they make those mega colonies, they don't really need to go very far.
No, they have to be kind of in the same area.
Exactly. So back on the mega colony thing. So when there's a neighboring colony, they all band together. We kind of have to talk about all of that. But it's called a unicolonial species because of this.
Yeah, I don't think we've come across anything like that. It's pretty interesting.
I also think it's pretty interesting. On to the next group within the colony, the males. They're just for mating. Also, they hatch with wings as well, but they use them. So that's good for them. They can go off and mate with other colonies. For a good reason. So if the queen has inbred babies, she'll actually be dethroned. So it's advantageous for the males to mate with other colonies.
Yeah, so they got to keep like diversity. Otherwise, yeah, they end up with problems and then...
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then the workers revolt. They're like, no!
Oh, out with the queen, off with her head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got off her head, but you know, maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, after the males mate, they pretty much die off. So they actually have no leadership role within the colony. So they're not what we call king ants. They're just males.
Yeah, makes sense.
Just males, just elites. Then there are the worker ants. Now, they're responsible for most stuff.
The blue collar ants.
Uh-huh, exactly. They acquire all of the food. They collect it from that. They collect that honeydew that I was mentioning from aphids and other bugs. In return, they do offer protection to these bugs. So it is sort of a symbiotic relationship. Good. Cool.
Yeah, I'll watch your back. You give me the slime.
The slime. Well, like I like the little use of slime there. It's very effective.
Yeah. You give me the slime, I'll watch your back.
There you go. That's how they definitely have that accent.
Of course.
For sure. Even though they're from Argentina. It's fine.
I don't know what that accent sounds like. I can only make it what's possible in my head.
Yeah, okay. I like that though. That's good. So they also feed all the larvae. Or larvae. I never know. I never know.
I think it's larva.
Okay. They aid in the queen's travel for budding, like I mentioned. They also dig all the tunnels for the nest. They use their jaws to do so. And then their saliva to harden the walls. And they carry all the extra dirt out, which is why anthills have the classic mound shape, which I didn't know.
I got the mound part, but I didn't know they used saliva to keep the shape of the tunnels. I just thought they had to pick like super specific kinds of dirt, you know, like dirt with enough whatever structural integrity to be a mound. I also wondered, like, when you see all these anthills, you know, when you're out in the desert or whatever, I'm always like, what happens when it rains? It seems not like a good place to have a house.
Yeah. They kind of make their tunnels so that they're a little bit rain resistant.
Do they do like a toilet where they have like a bend in their tube so that the water actually doesn't get up into certain chambers?
I mean, yeah, kind
of. But then they have a shortage of air supply also, wouldn't they? Interesting.
I don't know. I think they manage.
I mean, they must. They're not all dead every time it rains. So right. I'm just curious, but yeah.
But yeah, speaking on these nests, They typically will have like 20 to 30 nests at once. That's like a lot, but they're all pretty shallow and they're located underneath leaf litter or beneath stones typically. And if they do find an abandoned nest from a different ant species, they will happily take it over. They're just a cool, free house.
Yeah, awesome, already ready to go for rent.
But yeah, their mounds contain many tunnels and chambers, including the birth chamber where the queen stays and makes all the babies.
Gross. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the nursery, which is used for eggs, larvae, food storage, and resting.
I was just imagining like opening a bunch of doors and being like, ew, ew, ew. Why is it all gross things?
Yeah, it's not all, it's fine. No, okay.
It's just funny.
And that's all the cast. Do they have soldiers? No, they don't.
I didn't ask, but yeah, cool.
Well,
I did earlier. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, most do have soldier ants. They don't.
I like the big head ones. They are like a door. That's just all they do.
There's no doors in here. Basically, they just use those secretions. They don't really need soldier ants.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And they have all these numbers. I mean, they could probably overwhelm anything they wanted to.
Strength in numbers. That's right. So these ants do go through complete metamorphosis. What can I say?
Metamorphosis.
Correct. Well, egg, larva, pupa, adult. They do develop depending on temperatures at different times. So specifically at the pupal stage, they can develop faster or shorter depending on the temperature. So some examples, at 21 degrees Celsius or like 70-ish Fahrenheit, the pupa take 25 days, and at 30 C or 86 degrees Fahrenheit, it only takes 8.
Yeah, we've noticed this. Like, it seems like the higher the temp, the faster things grow. Mm-hmm. That's just like a trend of life. Like, life is all temperature, it seems.
Until it gets too hot and then it
Or too cold, apart. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But the best temperature for survival is about 78 degrees Fahrenheit.
Pretty good.
It's a little warm.
It's fine. It's passable. It's good.
Which is 26 C, by the way. Anywho, on to how long they live. How long do you think the ants live?
Forever.
They don't. But depending on the cast, it's different. So queens can live for several years, which is actually pretty significant.
That is a lot.
I agree. And then the worker ants can live 10 to 12 months. So like almost a year. Pretty good, yeah. I'd say. And then the males, it's a little different. You know,
obviously. Yeah, when you see ants, like you just don't think of them as like a long living thing.
I never would have thought about
it. I still don't really know how long flies live. I know that like people always say like, oh, they live like a day, but there's only certain flies that actually live a day, right?
I don't even know.
Most of them live like...
I think maybe Drosophila. The science ones?
I don't know science flies.
I think they're like fruit flies.
Like Professor Fly?
Right. Anywho, the males typically only live for a day and a half if they don't mate, and 14 days if they do.
A day and a half?
No, 8.5 days.
Oh, sorry.
Did I say a day and a half?
It doesn't matter.
That's fair, okay. So they are pretty common. Makes sense. And are they dangerous? No, they're not harmful to humans or most pets. However,
unless you like tan, like right in the middle of all their colonies, that would be
awful. Yeah. But I don't know if it would be dangerous. It would just be super unpleasant. I don't think.
Yeah. Like how many ants does it take before it's like a real big bad problem?
I don't know.
I don't want to know.
I think it's only in ants who are keen on trying to eat you.
You said they will bite you without hesitation.
They will bite you for sure, but I don't think they're like trying to eat you.
Although I guess if you're allergic, it might only take a couple.
That's fair. Depending on how allergic.
Yeah.
It can be a problem for some smaller organisms though, like other insects or sometimes other small vertebrae. So if you have like a pet mouse or like a tiny hamster or something like that,
aww,
that has potential to be, you know, a little more harmful.
Yeah, based on size and whatnot. Yes. I just was thinking about hamsters. They're cute and dumb.
They are, and they are both of those things. I agree. But yeah, they don't have any stinger, and they're non-toxic. So that's that for
man,
danger.
A hamster with a stinger, that would be crazy.
Oh my gosh! I wonder. No. They are a pest species for many reasons. They love to search people's homes for food. Sometimes in very large numbers.
I keep picturing hamsters.
No more hamsters. We're talking about ants.
All right.
It's ansters.
I was just imagining like an infestation of hamsters.
Oh my gosh. I want that kind of.
No, you don't. Right. You think you do.
You're right. They're also an invasive species, which I don't know if I talk about.
Well, they're from a different place.
Oh, that's true. You get it. They like to create those mega colonies, and they will attack nesting birds, eat the birds' eggs. They also take over local ant populations and steal food and larvae from commercial bees. So not great.
Yeah, they're opportunistic eaters. So things on the ground, not good for them. And sometimes in trees.
Yeah, and sometimes in trees.
Watch your nests.
Watch your nests.
Yeah, be careful, people.
So how do we get rid of them? You know, pest control stuff.
Stomp, 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 well, stomp.
No, we don't squish bugs.
Tap dancing.
These ants actually don't have any specific predators, so not great for biological control. Basically, insecticides don't really work really great either. That's not just because I don't like them, but also most of the colonies live underground where insecticides have a really hard time reaching. Makes it really difficult for them to eliminate them with insecticides. In fact, the only way for insecticides to work with ant colonies, I think in general, but certainly for Argentinians, is that the death of the workers that come out of the colonies means less food and hydration for the ones that are still inside, which means that they send more ants out to fix the problem, which actually just makes it much worse. And all the ants inside die from dehydration and starvation.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know, isn't that terrible? Hate that.
Yeah, not great.
No. In addition, not all the ants are always killed. So even if you do all of that, these ants are really good at recolonizing. So if an ant queen makes it, that's it, man.
Yeah, like it's back to square one.
Back to square one. And it only takes them 14 days to totally create a new colony.
Oh, no.
So not great for outdoor pest control. Let's talk about indoor pest control first. Avoidance. That's always it. Just avoid it. Take the measures to avoid it becoming a problem in the first place. So you can do that by physical efforts. Like
carrying your ants outside?
Exactly. No, by sealing the cracks in your home. They're actually pretty crafty, so they'll likely find a way around that. But it is not a bad idea because it still protects against other bugs. And, I mean, it could still work.
Yeah, I mean, definitely try to close as many as you can.
Mm-hmm. Other preventatives are checking your potted plants. We mentioned the nursery.
Yes, they might have ants in them.
Yes. So if you're purchasing, giving away, or gifted a potted plant, check it for ants. They could be in there.
That's a good idea.
I did read that you can dip like the whole plant, well, the whole pot, like the soil part, in insecticides, but that seems wild to me.
No, that's like
don't do a little, that. Like,
sure, you could. Yeah. I don't know if that's a good idea.
I just don't feel like that's good. But yeah, there are other means of home pest control, which include insecticides. We've touched on that. They don't work super great. Let me give you some other reasons to maybe not use this method. If you have any foliage around the perimeter of your home, it's probably going to act as like a pathway around the insecticides.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I read over all the things you need to do to get rid of them with insecticides, which includes spraying pretty much everything everywhere. Your yard, along your house, in your house, on the bottom of trees, next to your gardens, on all of the ant nests. And on top of that, you'll probably have to do it twice because these ants are super resilient. Oh, and they toxify water sources, so you have to completely avoid any ants that are anywhere near any of those.
Oh, great.
So not good, really.
No, not good.
So in all, you're not going to get rid of them, is basically what I'm saying.
They just got to be friends with them, I guess.
Yeah, make homies with the Argentine ants. How do you know if the ants that you're looking at are these ants?
We said they're brown and normal looking, so I guess I would look for that.
Well, lots of ants are brown and normal looking. That's why they're normal looking.
Well, you could just try to sound smart and be like, those are the Argentine ants.
Well, let me tell you how to sound smarter.
Please do.
Okay, great.
It's my favorite thing.
If you find a trail of ants, if they are small and brown, like we mentioned, move very slowly, and their trail includes more than 3 ants wide, like that has more than 3 ants in it, then there's a chance that they're an Argentine ant infestation. Another way to know is by putting your hand in the way of the trail, because Argentine ants will walk straight over your hand, where other ants don't really do that. They kind of find a different way around.
Do you have to use your hand?
I mean,
or can you use like a stick?
You probably use something other than the same sort of dimensions as a hand, just to prove it, you know, really prove it.
Yeah.
A stick might not do it.
I see.
Yeah. Maybe though. I don't know. I mean,
pretty cool though. You could be way like, funner. Oh, how many rows of ants is that? That's definitely the Argentine ant. I would know it anywhere.
Exactly. See, you sound so much smarter.
Yeah.
So we talked about the fact that they're an invasive species. In fact, they are listed as one of the top 100 world's worst invasive species.
That doesn't sound that bad to be in the top 100.
I mean, there's a lot of species in the world. They love to invade subtropical and temperate regions. And when they do, they love to form those big colonies. And when they do that, I actually didn't mention how big they are. That's really important. So these big mega colonies, they can get real big. Like really, really big. Let me tell you how. When you're talking about a measurement of habitat coverage, these ants typically hang out in groups that cover three-ish to hundreds of hectares. Now, what's a hectare? Because I didn't know.
I have no idea.
It's equal to 100 airs. What's an air? It's 100 square. It's 100 square meters. So 100 airs is 1 hectare, or 1 hectare is 10,000 meters.
And this is one group of colonies?
Right. And it's a few of those. So one group mega colony could be 30,000 meters, or it could be hundreds. So 200,000 plus meters.
It's a lot of meters.
That's a lot of meters.
I can't even fathom how much space that is.
No, me neither, but you got the numbers now.
Like a neighborhood? I don't know.
I think
a city block?
Yeah, closer to that for some of those.
Maybe so, more? A city? I don't know.
I don't know. Somebody tell me. When they're in these massive populations, they get pretty aggressive. So their behavior can easily wipe out other ant populations. So also some other insect populations. Mm. But the way that they do this is primarily through out-competing them rather than like killing them.
Yeah, they eat all the food. There's so many.
Exactly. So because the Argentine ants band together and help each other out with their neighboring nests, it means less time spent finding food. And they also have to spend less effort in defending the nest because there's so many of them.
Yeah, makes sense.
This makes it harder for the other ants who don't have these kinds of resources. They end up spending more energy on both. So they are getting less resources and spending more energy, which effectively kills their population.
Oh, the poor mom and pop ant shops. They can't compete. They can't compete with the corporations.
That's so sad. But yeah, it ultimately leads to depletion in biodiversity, which we hate. It's bad for the environment.
Yeah, we like diversity in the environment.
We do indeed. So sadly, this problem is made worse by climate change. Everything's always made worse than that.
Is that, yeah, everything. Yeah.
So basically the way that works is it negatively impacts the environmental factors that typically keep these ant populations in check, like cold temperatures and rain. Since there are less of both, it means an increase in these kinds of
populations. Makes sense.
Yeah. But a small glimmer of hope in New Zealand.
Oh.
This is all specific to New Zealand, but it's still interesting. Long-term observational studies of these invasive ant populations show that the populations normally collapse over time without interference. So that's good.
Ah, waiting is the answer all along.
This is suspected to be due to inbreeding depressions, which talked about. It's why the queens are demoted. Most Argentine ant populations in New Zealand are from the same nest.
Really?
Yeah.
In all of
New Zealand. Yeah.
Wow. So if you just wait long enough, hopefully they'll all die.
Yeah. So basically it causes like genetic issues of like deformations and stuff like that decrease the survival. Also their population collapse could be due to poor adaptivity to their environment and pathogens. We didn't talk about bacteria.
Oh, yeah,
stuff
true.
Like that can kill them. They tend to stay active, though, in New Zealand, the place we're talking about, for 10 to 20 years. So, like, it's going to take some time.
That's a lot of waiting.
I agree. It seems like a long time, but I guess it's better than them sticking around forever, which is always a possibility with an invasive species.
True.
Yeah. So, apparently, they found that the best thing to do is just let them run their course, because New Zealand was spending approximately $68 million a year attempting to control these populations and failing.
So, oh, my goodness.
So,
that's a lot of money.
Just let them wipe themselves out.
What were they doing? Like, how'd they even spend that much? I don't even know.
I mean, who's to say?
I don't know.
But yeah, that's most of the stuff I have for you on Argentinians. I do have one cool fact. It's not that cool, but it pretty much is just another fact. But here we go. I didn't put it anywhere else. So their trails can be thousands of ants strong and measure meters to kilometers or 1,000 meters long.
Oh, that's is cool to see a long trail of ants, huh?
Super long.
Pretty cool. See, they weren't that boring and normal and brown after all.
Exactly.
They actually had some good stuff going on.
Well, some bad
stuff. I like ants.
Oh, good. I feel whatever about ants. I think I like eusocial groups. I think like eusocial species are really interesting.
No, it is. We don't cover them that often.
True. There's not that many of them. So, yeah. Mostly just ants and bees.
Yeah.
But that is everything that I have for you on Argentine ants. Thank you, yeah. Lucas, again, for your suggestion. Hopefully.
Yeah, I hope this was the right one and that you enjoyed it.
Yes. So that's it. Send it away or whatever.
Yeah, if you have a episode request or you want us to cover something, you can send us an email at justbugs@gmail.com. Justbugs Podcast?
That's
justbugspodcast@gmail.com. You can check out pictures of the bugs we cover that have been given to us from various photographers on Instagram at our Instagram, JustBugs on Instagram.
Podcast.
Judge Bugs Podcast on Instagram.
Oh, and also sorry, there's not one for this week.
Okay. Well, if you got one, let us have it, please. It's for a good cause. To show people what a little brown ant looks like. And then, yeah, if you want to see other stuff from us, you can check us out on Patreon. Just Bugs on Patreon. My new comic should be coming out soon and should be possibly related to ants in some way. We'll see. And yeah. Rate and review the show on your podcast platform of choice and spread the word. Tell your friends. That's how we grow. And we hope you enjoyed the show. And yeah, goodbye.
Well, don't squish bugs. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. And as always, don't squish bugs. Don't squish bye.
Bugs. Bye, guys.